just like it did last week when we sang the song you requested, Brother Glenn.
Oh, man.
Whenever we talk about how the Lord grants with us, that always gets you.
Amen.
If your heart's right with Him, it's going to get you every time.
Amen, brother.
None of us are worthy of it.
Amen.
All right. Well, a couple of announcements for me tonight. Pastor will go back to South Carolina tomorrow, so pray for traveling mercies for him as he goes back. And then, Lord willing, Wednesday night, Brother Cliff Zimmerman will be here. So we want to pray that things go well so that we can have church on Wednesday night. With the crazy weather that we've been having this winter, we want to seek the Lord's face and desire Him that He would allow us to be here. So we want to pray about that. Pastor mentioned this morning the situation about his housing. We want to continue to pray about that. See the Lord's will done. Right now, things aren't going the way we would desire, but the Lord knows all about that, and in His time and in His way, He will make it happen.
Amen.
Whether it be this home or another one. So we'll keep praying about that. Pray as tomorrow Pastor is doing some business on that regard, so pray about that. We are having the Lord's table tonight, as all of you can see. We are doing things differently than we typically have done. You'll note that there's only one seat there, and that's for the pastor. When the time comes for the elements, he will request that each person come up and get his or her own, whether it be the bread or the cup. All right, so that way, the only possibility of you getting COVID would be from yourself, and hopefully that won't be an issue. So that's how we're going to handle it tonight, and hopefully all of you will be fine with that. I think that's it that I'm aware of. Pastor, is there anything else that you can think of? Okay. All right. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We'll go over our memory verses. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Just go over that one time. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes is one of those books that can be hard to find. All right, here we go. Ecclesiastes 1, 9, and 10. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of time which was before us. All right. Very good. All right. For our final song, before the special and the message, we'll do Lead Me to Calvary. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so on this?
I stood in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. Looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Come to the stand, God said. I stood there in wonder, how could this be that someone so guilty had just been set free? Well, my chains were broken, I got born. Forgiven when mercy walked in.
Amen. You know, in that song there, there's victory in that song. There's victory in it. That we are more than overcomers through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank God for mercy. I don't know about you, but I thank God for mercy. I'm glad that God is a merciful God. You know, I don't know about you, when little, when kids would play games with, and they call mercy or however you play it. But I'm thankful that God's just merciful. I mean, brethren, we have trouble just being merciful with one another, just human to human. And you're talking about a holy, pure, undefiled, perfect God, and to show mercy, and then to show mercy, and to show mercy, and then to show mercy, and then again show mercy, and mercy, and mercy, for infinity. It never stops. For us, His mercy is infinite towards us. It has to be. Or we're in trouble if it's not. What a God we serve. And as I was saying this morning, there is no other God like the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other religion that compares with Christianity. True Bible-believing Christianity, nothing compares to it. Nothing can touch the true Christianity found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So take your Bibles this evening. We're going to do a little lesson here this evening before we go into the Lord's Supper. And it's kind of ironic how it I think it fits in a little bit with the Lord's Supper this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, as we continue our study in Thessalonians. This evening we're going to be breaking down verse number 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And we'll be looking at verse number 6 this evening, and actually just the first part of it, because I don't want to go too long this evening. I want to spend some time with the Lord's Supper as well. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, to get the context, I'll start in verse number 1. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Verse number 6 this evening. And ye became follower of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this evening. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I thank you, Father, every day, dear God, that you just give us another opportunity to live for you. And Father, I pray that we would just wouldn't waste that, Lord, that we'd be diligent about it. Dear God, be diligent about your business, Lord, just to be a light and a testimony to those that we may come across. And Lord, we pray this evening, Lord, you would just be glorified and honored in all that's said and done. And we ask this again now in Jesus' name. Amen. So this evening in chapter 1 and verse number 6, Paul tells those in Thessalonica, he says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Follower. Well, I think most of us would know what a follower is, but according to the dictionary, it's one who comes, goes, or moves after another in the same course. So if you're following someone, you're going the same direction, you're going the same course, you're doing what they're doing because you're following them. And Paul tells them, he says, and ye became followers of us, and not just of us, Paul says, but of the Lord as well. We need, number one, to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one we ought to follow. And you say, well, how do you follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you read about him. You get in the gospel accounts and you study and you look and you see how the Lord walked. And as he walked, you follow him and follow his example. Number two, following the Lord means that most of the time, I would say every time, he requires of you as you follow him to take up your cross daily and follow him. Take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 24. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 24. Following the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater to follow, brethren. There's a lot of people that they follow a football team, right? They follow a baseball team. They follow someone that's their favorite on YouTube. They follow somebody that's favorite on a computer. There's a lot of things that we can follow. But there's nothing that compares to following the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that's going to benefit you for eternity than following the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter number 16, and look at verse number 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him, number one, deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I love verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What can you give in exchange for? What is there worth living for on this planet outside of Jesus Christ? You would say, some people would say, well, I'm living for my family. And I understand and I get that. But your family is not always going to be here. Well, I'm living for my children. Your children may not always be here. You might not be here. Well, I'm living for, I'm striving to get to this place in my place of employment. Well, as far as I know, most places of employment, there's good places to work for, there's bad places to work for, but for most places, you're just another number. There might be good people that you work with that you like, and you spend time with them, and they're friends. I get that. But for the most part, as far as the business is concerned, most of the time, you're just a number. You're going to do what the business wants you to do, and if you leave, you quit, you get fired, they're going to find somebody else to fill your spot. So your job really doesn't care for you. What is there to live for in this life? What is a man profit? What is a woman profit? If you were to gain the whole world, let's say tonight someone came in and they gave you power over the whole world. My question is, then what? There's only so much pleasure you can take part in before you're going to strive to look for something else, and then that's going to leave you empty, and then the next thing's going to leave you empty, and then this is going to leave you empty, and you're always going to be looking for that next high to lift you up and give you joy and happiness, just to be let down again. But you'll never, 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 ever be let down by the Lord Jesus Christ. Since the day I've been saved for 20 years, there's not one time I can look at you and say that the Lord has ever let me down. Now, there's been multitude of times that I can't even count or number that I've let the Lord down. But He has never let me down. Never. There's never no time I've gone to Him in brokenness to where He's turned me away and said, Chris, no, not tonight. I'm too busy tonight. Never. He has never let me down. So, following the Lord Jesus Christ comes at a price. There's going to be a price to follow the Lord. And if there's not a price, then something's probably not right. Take your Bible and look at Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. Paul said, be ye followers of us and of the Lord. Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter 10 and look at verse number 17. Mark 10 and verse number 17. Now this is talking about the rich young ruler here. And verse number 10 or verse number 17 in chapter 10 of Mark says this, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus is walking along in a way, and there's this man that comes running to him. He's earnest. He comes running to Jesus, and he kneels down before him, and he says, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And the first thing Jesus deals with him about in verse number 18 says, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? Look, he's getting this man to realize, listen, there's no one good but God. Don't call me good unless you're going to recognize that I'm God manifested in the flesh. He says, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. And then look what he says. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. That's good to use in witnessing. You say, what, brother? What, preacher? We can't be saved by law. The law's never justified any man. Right, you're exactly right. What if we go out here and we talk to people and we witness to people and they say, well, just keep the Ten Commandments. Just go on, go about your way. You want eternal life? You want to spend eternity in heaven? Just follow and keep the Ten Commandments. You say, well, they'll go to hell. Yeah, but it will do something if they're honest. You see, if they're honest and they truly have a heart to serve God and they take your word, look at the Lord here. He says, keep the commandments. Well, if he's honest with himself as he goes about his daily walkings during his life, he's going to realize, I can't keep the commandments. If he's honest with himself, he's going to come to himself someday and realize, God said, keep these commandments, but I can't keep these commandments. So I'm hopeless. And the Lord says, good. You're exactly where I need you to be right now. Because when you realize you're hopeless, you'll then realize that's why I came to die for you. Do you see? So the Lord says, keep my commandments. He's trying to draw out where this man's heart's at. And look at this man's answer. Instead of saying, Lord, to be honest with you, I try to keep these commandments, but I fail most of the time. Look what he says in verse 20. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I've heard from my youth. Really? You've honored your father and mother every single day of your life from the time of your youth, you must be a pretty good young man. But he says, Master, I've done all these things. So now what do I need to do? Look what Jesus says to him, verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Again, what a wonderful God. The Lord knows this man's heart. And the Bible says, and Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and look, and follow me. One thing you lack, just one thing. You're doing pretty good with all these other commandments. I give you credit for that, the Lord says. But you're lacking one thing, just one thing now. Go sell everything you have. Take up your cross and come follow me. Look what the Bible says in verse 22. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Brethren, it kind of goes along with Paul dealing with Felix. He dealt with them of righteousness, judgment, and temperance. The Holy Spirit had him zero in on what the problem was in his life, and in that man's life it was temperance. The Lord comes in here and he zeroes in with the exact problem with this rich young ruler, and his possessions are what ruled his heart. He had great possessions and he did not want to give them up. The Bible doesn't say if he ever did give them up and follow the Lord, we don't know. It just says that he was sad at that saying. You see, the Lord says it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to sell everything you have, take up your cross, and come follow me. Now, see, that's not... Now, we don't make a blanket statement then for all believers from here on out that if you're going to follow the Lord, you've got to sell everything you have and follow him. No, no, no. That is the issue that was in this man's life. His possessions is what was keeping him back. And the Lord knew that. And the Lord says, I love you. The Bible says he loved him. I love you, but one thing you lack, one thing. Sell what you got and come follow me. Now, contrast that with the last part of this chapter in verse number 46. Blind Bartimaeus. Look what the very last part of this chapter in verse 46 of this rich young ruler. Look at verse number 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Well, why didn't these men, these people, I don't know if they were there, why didn't they charge this rich young ruler that came running up to Jesus? No. See, most men are respecters of persons. And these men are a respecter of persons. They see blind Bartimaeus, he's a beggar, he's on the street side. Surely our Lord would not nothing to do with him. Verse 48, he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And look what happens when you cry out to the Lord to say, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Brethren, if you got things going on in your life that nobody knows about, sometimes you get overwhelmed. Sometimes I was saying this morning, the dark cloud comes out of nowhere. And all of a sudden you feel depressed, you feel down, you feel the anxiety, you feel like it's not even worth going on living. Cry out to Jesus and beg for mercy. And the Bible says, I believe that Jesus will stand still and he hears your cry. But you got to cry out. And as you cry out, you got to believe that the Lord hears what you're crying out to him for. And go to the scriptures. If you do any reading about Charles Spurgeon, he had times like that. Teddy Roosevelt, one of our presidents, talks about, he referred to it as, and I don't know if he was saved or not, but he referred to times and he referred to it as the black dog. He would say, the black dog's on me. And what he meant was, he don't know where it came from, he didn't know what was going on, but he just felt depressed. He felt like he was overwhelmed, he felt like this black cloud was around him. He referred to it as a black dog. Said, the black dog's got me today. And that's what he was referring to. See, we're not immune to it. Some people's personalities are more prone to that than others. But this blind Bartimaeus is an example to us. He's there, he's a beggar, yet he's crying out to Jesus, and the Lord hears him, and the Lord stands still, And he commanded him to be called. He cries out to Jesus. Jesus stands still, and then he calls him to him. So much for Calvinism. Right? So much for Calvinism. So much for... No, this man moved Jesus to call, for Jesus to call him. This man cried out, said, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still in verse 29 and commanded him to be called. And they called a blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." And look at verse 50. Contrast it with the man, the rich young ruler. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And this blind man says, "Oh no, Lord." Look at verse the last part at verse 52. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way. You see, this blind beggar man sitting on the side, the roadside of the highway there, has nothing. And the very thing that he does have, when Jesus calls him, he casts that even away and says, "I'm following you, Lord. Take the world, give me Jesus." You see the difference of the hearts of both of these men. This rich young ruler walks away sad because he had great possessions. And Jesus says, "Just come follow me. One thing you lack. You're almost there. You ask that rich young ruler, that ruler, ask for eternal life. What may I do to inherit eternal life? Sell all that you have and come follow me." This battle starts going on the inside. I got to give everything up to follow you. I got to give everything up to have eternal life. Yes, you've got to come to the end of yourself. I'll have a hard time with anybody's salvation that's ever come to the position of giving up themselves to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. When I cry out to the Lord, I said, "Lord, you what? Lord, whatever. God, what? Whatever you want me, Lord. What? It's just you, Lord. You could take my life. Let me have you, Lord." And that's exactly what blind Bartimaeus said. Blind Bartimaeus cried out to God. Jesus answered him, and he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way. You can only follow the Lord if you hear his voice. And I'm not going to look at it tonight, but if you want to write it down, John chapter 10, verses 24 through 27 states that my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I ask you this evening, do you hear the voice of the Savior? Do you hear the voice of the Savior? And we are to follow others as they are following the Lord. I'm almost done. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Again, Paul said there, "And be ye followers of us and of the Lord." Followers of us and of the Lord. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 7 through 11. 2 Thessalonians 3, 7 through 11. "For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us." Be an example. You say, "Well, how do I know if somebody's following the Lord?" Because Paul says here in Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians 3, to be a follower of him. And he was an example to those brethren to follow him. Well, one way you can tell if somebody's good to follow is, are they doing good? Are they doing right? Are they full of righteousness, faith, charity, and peace? 2 Timothy 2:22 talks about leaders, and those we follow should be full of righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. And another thing that we should look at in an individual, if we're going to follow them, is found in Romans chapter 14, verse 19. And this will be the last verse we look at this evening. Romans chapter 14, verse number 19, talking about following those that follow Christ. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 19. This is some things to follow after, and if you're following after, it should be evident in your life for others to follow. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. All right? Paul tells those Romans, those Christians there in Rome, he says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Now, this is what I'll ask this evening for you. So I'm going to ask you this evening this question. If you start losing peace in your life, start looking around and see if it's something that's taking the peace from you. The Bible says here, let us therefore follow after things. Things that will what? Which make for peace, not the opposite, take away peace. So if all of a sudden you start seeing that peace is starting to slip out of your life, you don't have peace no more, and you're starting to get a little anxious, and just it may be something that you're allowing in your life that's taking your peace. And therefore, that's why you don't have it. It may be something in your life that Paul says here in the latter part of verse 19, things wherewith one may edify another. If it's not edifying you with the grounds and within the dictates of Philippians 4:8, if it's not edifying you for good, then it may be something that may be leeching off of you and stealing that peace away from you. That may not always be the case. But I've found sometimes in my life that I've let certain things creep in, as we've looked at before, that aren't necessarily wrong. They're not sinful, but there's an opportunity for it to leech and pull me away from the things of God and more towards the things of the flesh, if that makes sense this evening. So be careful. Do a check. Say, Lord, I'm losing peace. God, I don't have peace tonight. Lord, I'm struggling tonight. Is it something, Lord, that I've allowed? And if it is, Lord, reveal it. Show me, Lord. Show me if it's something that I'm allowing in my life, Lord, that maybe I shouldn't be doing. I don't know. Lord, I feel like I'm clear before you. But God, if it is something, please show it and make it clear to me. Because, Lord, I'm struggling right now. I don't have peace. Father, I'm struggling. I feel depressed. Father, this day I feel like I've just given up. And, Lord, but if there's something there, Lord, that I'm allowing it, Father, reveal it to me. Lord, make it known to me. Shine light on it that I may see and get a victory over it and get it out of my life. There's a lot of things that we can let into our home that can be a hindrance to us. And the enemy knows that. And it gives ground to the enemy to then attack you. I'm going to close with that right there. There's certain things that if we give ground away, then the enemy has every right to stay there until that ground's been taken away. You understand? We deal with principalities and powers and rulers and darkness in high places. And if there's something in your home that gives the enemy the right to be there because of that thing, you can pray all day long and say in Jesus' name, but until you remove that, whatever it may be, the enemy has a right to be there. That's how it works in the spiritual realm. So you say, well, I don't want you going, oh, I don't know. Just relax and let God show you. If there's no peace, just ask the Lord to show you what can be changed in your life to where you can have that peace, to where you can have that joy, to where you can have victory. Listen to me, that where you can have victory during those dark times. I know about those dark times. That's my personality is kind of prone to that. You can ask my wife about it. There's times where I just want to, let me just crawl in a hole in the middle of Australia somewhere and never come out again. And I'd be just fine with it. Lord, let me just go off in the woods somewhere and just somewhere. Let me just go off in the woods somewhere and just keep walking and never come back. Just let me ever come out. I don't even have to see humanity. Just let me go forever. Or the time, like Job, Lord, just take, Lord, I would not object if you just took me home tonight. Look, it's going to come. Those dark days are going to come. But you can have victory through it. As long as you don't quit. See, my tendency early on in my Christianity, my tendency in my early part of my Christianity was to quit. Say, God, I just give up. And the enemy this way. I don't know if he works this way with you, but he worked this way with me. If I gave into certain areas and I sinned, then the pounding came on even more. Oh, you're done. And then you get to the point of, well, then even what's the use? I totally quit now because I did this. I might as well just go ahead full bore sin now. Do you see how the enemy works? We cannot be ignorant of his devices. He's going to try to get in there. He's going to try to get just a little crack. If I just get a little crack and just get a wedge in there and just try to bust that thing wide open. He'll try to pound you into despair. Well, the Lord don't love you no more. See, you know what's right, and you just sin, and then you just kept sinning, and you expect God to love you now, and you did it, and you knew you were doing it, and you expect God to forgive you? That's a lie of the devil. That is a lie of the devil. Take it to Jesus. Take it to Jesus. Take it to Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. God, I've been pathetic. Lord, I've done things I know, God, I shouldn't have done. God, forgive me for Jesus' sake. And Lord, help me to get back in that right fellowship with you. Help me not listen to the lies of the devil. Okay? Take your Bible, and I've started doing it, and read through the book of Psalms. If you read five psalms a day, usually there's 30 days, 31 days in a month. You read five psalms a day, you'll read through the whole book of Psalms in 1 month. Just five a day. So if today's the 13th and you just want to start tomorrow the 14th or whatever, the 15th, times it by five, get where you are and just read those five chapters. And as I've started doing that, I've started going through and writing in the back of my Bible all the times that David talks about, or the psalmist talks about, distress, help, heaviness, overwhelmed, horror, fear. And I write down all those scriptures in the back of my Bible so that at times I need help, I'll go to those scriptures and realize that there's someone who's gone before me who's been heavy. There's someone gone before me who referred to things as terror and horror. It's in the Psalms. Overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. So much so. And a lot of the times when he says it, he refers to the waves as coming from the Lord. Thy waves have covered me. Why? Because I believe the Lord wants you to get to a point to where we realize that he's all we have. And he's the only one that will sustain us always through eternity. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep fighting the good fight. If you feel like quitting, if you feel like giving up, don't. Get a hold of God. Call up a brother. Call up a sister. Talk to somebody if you're by yourself. And ask God to help you through it. You're not alone. See, the devil will want you to think that you're the only one and you're the only pathetic case in all of humanity that deals with it. No, you're not alone. For such afflictions are accomplished in your brethren as well. Everybody struggles with something. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep following the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you, and he will hear you when you call out to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this evening, Lord. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. Lord, help us to be followers of you. Lord, there's times, dear God, no doubt, if you should tarry, Lord, to call us home, there's going to come times in our life again, dear God, we're just going to feel like giving up. Lord, what's the use? And Lord, I pray that when that time comes, Lord, you'd help us to realize that you love us, you care for us. And Lord, you hear our cries. Lord, your ears are not deaf to us, dear Lord. You see and you know and you see every tear that's cried. Lord, every thought that's thought. And Lord, you know our down sittings and our uprisings. Lord, you know when we go to sleep. You know when we wake up. Lord, you know everything about us, Father. Help us to realize that you love us with a love that cannot be comprehended. And Lord, help us always during those times, Lord, trust you, lean upon you, and seek your face. Lord, I pray for these precious brethren. Lord, I pray you'd help them through the rest of this week, Lord, as we're coming into this new week. Just give them strength, give them encouragement, and help them just to be a light and a testimony for you, Lord. And I pray you'd help us now as we get ready to partake of your supper, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this evening, this is going to be modified. And we're kind of rolling with the punches with it. And I'm going to read something out of the Bible, and then I'm going to change it up even again. Brother Jim, I'm going to ask you at a point to come up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to I'll hand out this, and then if you could, we'll give you gloves, and then you can hand out that. That way I'm not trying to do both, if you don't mind, brother. And we'll do it different. I wasn't planning on doing it this way, but just because of the situation and all that, we're kind of having to modify it a little bit. But if you take your Bible and look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And what I'd like to do first before we partake of the Lord's Supper is I'd like to read these verses and then just give us some time to meditate and pray, seek the Lord's face, examine ourselves as the Bible tells us here to do so. And if there's anything between us and the Lord that we need to make right before we take the Lord's Supper, just to give an opportunity for you to make that right between you and the Lord. If there's something that you need to make right with somebody else, just an opportunity to do that as well. Because I believe our hearts need to be clear before God. This is, to me, this is a serious ordinance that the Lord has us to take. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 27, Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 27, he says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." But verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." So this evening, just to give you a little bit of time, Jason's going to play a little bit, spend some time in prayer. I'll close it in prayer, and then we'll go into partaking the Lord's Supper. But again, the Lord's Supper has nothing to do with salvation. We take the Lord's Supper because we are saved, because we're doing it in remembrance of his death, and that his soon, hopefully soon, return to take us home someday. But it's to remember what Jesus Christ did for us on a cross of Calvary and how he shed his blood for our sins, to take away our sins forever, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jason's going to play here for a few moments. Just spend some time in prayer. I'll close it in prayer, and then we'll begin taking the Lord's Supper. we just thank you again for this opportunity, the freedom, Lord, to meet. Lord, the freedom to come together, Lord. Spend time around your word. Spend time singing songs to worship you. And Lord, I pray, Father, now as we go forward, Lord, that we would just do this with a clear heart. Help us to glorify you. Help us to remember what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, how you died for our sins. You were buried and you rose again the third day. And Lord, help us just to walk close to you. And we just praise you and give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Jim, if you could come on up, brother. Okay, so what Jason's going to play, and what I'm asked, we'll start with this right side first here. If you want to partake of the Lord's Supper, I ask that you just come on up while Jason's playing. We'll give you, again, we're doing this different. We'll give you both the cup and the bread and take it back to your seat, and then I'll read the scriptures once everybody has the cup and the bread, and we'll partake of it together. So we'll start on this side here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 23, "For I received the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Brother Jim, can you pray for us, brother?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord, that we have with your faith, Lord. Lord, just help us remember what you did on the cross for us, in his Lord. Lord, the cup we took is a symbol of his blood, Lord, that you spilled for us, Lord, for our, and you covered our sins, Lord. And the bread, Lord, resembles the body of your of Jesus Christ, Lord, on the cross, Lord, as he was pierced for our sins, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for what you did up there, Lord. Help us never forget what you did for our sins. And we thank you, Lord, for it. Lord, just bless us now, Lord, as we go our way, Lord. Give us peace. Give us safety, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Brother, I'd like to close with a hymn. If you take the blue hymn book and page number 18. If you don't mind, if you could stand, we'll sing "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Page number 18 in the blue hymn book.
Thank you enough. And we're going to go in peace on that thought. Thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.